Hi, John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com, and I want to thank you guys all for tuning in tonight. We got a great show for you, and if you watched any of the games yesterday, you know it was a great day for NFL action. First things first, we got Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers went on to beat the Baltimore Ravens 39-38. Ben Roethlisberger had a great day, throwing for 506 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Le'Veon Bell was also very impressive, totaling 3 touchdowns for the day. He had 2 rushing and 1 receiving. And then Antonio Brown had a huge, huge day catching the football with 213 yards. The Steelers have made a lot of improvements from last year to this year. Getting Cameron Hayward back was huge for this football team. He was injured last year during the season. Obviously, Sean Davis and Artie Burns have been really big in the secondary for the Steelers. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you have Martavis Bryant coming back from suspension. And then the addition to Juju Smith-Schuster, who didn't play last night, but has been a big winning piece of the puzzle so far up to this point for Pittsburgh. Should be noted that at the end of Week 14, the Steelers were 8-5 last year during 2016. Now this year, they're 11-2, so it's been a big improvement for this football team, and it's just been those little additions and getting players back, that some that were healthy and some were suspended, that's really been the difference maker for this team. And obviously Ben Roethlisberger, he threw for over 500 yards. That was the third time in his career that he's done that. That's more than anybody in NFL history. I actually had a tweet like a couple of months ago where I said Ben Roethlisberger's airing it out. His batting throw power rating has to be a 99. That stat, the fact that he has more 500-yard games than anybody else in league history, pretty much tells you he's the ultimate deep ball quarterback, and there's no doubt he should have a 99 throw power in Madden. So moving on, let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo has a huge day for the San Francisco 49ers against the Houston Texans. They won 26-16. Garoppolo is 2-0 since taking over the 49ers. And if you don't remember, this team was struggling to win a game all year. Suddenly Jimmy Garoppolo comes in the fold. He's 2-0 since, taking over this team. And finally, you know, Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers have an identity. They got their guy. They pluck Garoppolo away from Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. They immediately put him make him their franchise quarterback, I should say, and as they should, because he's very, very talented guy. The record proves that. He threw for 334 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. So he's got to get the touchdowns up and the interceptions down a little bit. You'd like to see him run 3 touchdowns and no interceptions, but still 334 yards tells you Jimmy Garoppolo can air it out. And all signs are pointing to him being a big-time quarterback in this league for the San Francisco 49ers. So you got to give Jimmy G a lot of credit for everything he's been able to do since joining that team. Continuing on, we're going to talk about the running backs a little bit. LeSean McCoy continues his prolific career with 156 yards and 1 touchdown. Shady has been amazing carrying the ball over the course of his career with the Philadelphia Eagles and with the Buffalo Bills now. This guy is one of the most dynamic players in the league. He's very shifty. He's tough. He just does it all. You know, you just can't say enough good things about LeSean McCoy as a football player. And he did all this week, those 156 yards and 1 touchdown in a snow bowl. Yeah, it was snowing there in Buffalo against Indy. And the score ended up being 13-7 Buffalo. But tip your hat to LeSean McCoy, everything he's been able to do. It's been a hell of a run for him. And it's always fun just to follow that guy and see what he does every weekend against the top athletes in the world. And he usually comes up big. Another big running back, Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard has a big day for the Bears. He rushed for 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, the Bears throttled the Bengals 33-7. Howard's another guy that's kind of like Ezekiel Elliott. Came out the same year, big-time running back, immediately made a splash. The only thing is Elliott's suspended and Howard's still just racking up yardage. Now, I'm not saying Howard's better than Elliott because I think when Elliott is on the field, he's a one-of-a-kind type of running back. But you got to start giving Jordan Howard his props. He's been amazing for the Chicago Bears. They love to run the football up there in Chicago. And John Fox knows he's got a solid ball player in Jordan Howard who he can hand the ball off 23 times a game to and expect this guy to just eat up big chunks of yardage, control the time of possession, and put the Bears in favorable situations. So they got a great two-back system with him and Tariq Cohen. So Bears got to add a few more pieces, but, you know, finally they're getting their own identity too, and they're taking steps in the right direction. So you got to love what's going on in the Windy City. Next topic, Chargers. The Chargers get their fourth straight win. They improved to 7-6 on the year. They're the seventh seed. The Ravens lost to the Steelers last night, but the Ravens are still in the postseason picture as a sixth seed, so they're just barely squeaking in. The Chargers are the seventh seed, so they're looking on the outside in at the Ravens, hoping to take their spot. They both teams have the same record, but you know the other route that the Chargers could do to get in is they could knock off Kansas City and win the division title. Kansas City and the Chargers are both tied right now, record-wise, but with the Chargers just being scorching hot, I mean, that's their fourth straight win, and Rivers came out. They pulled Rivers out of the game because they were just handling their business, and, you know, there's a lot of good things going on in L.A. with those two teams. The Rams looked good, you know, for most of the game in a shootout. They ultimately lost to Philly, but the Chargers and the Rams are both two teams that are trending upward right now, so we went from no teams in Los Angeles to suddenly two teams that are actually pretty good. And it didn't feel like either team was really going to be that good. So it's kind of a surprise what's going on out west. The Jaguars, you got to really, really like what the Jaguars are doing right now. They beat the Seattle Seahawks 30-24. It's a two-game winning streak for the Jags. They're 9-4 on the year. They got tons of young playmakers like Jalen Ramsey, and all the other guys they signed, you know, Miles Jack that they drafted. There's just a lot of young talent on the defensive side of the ball for Jacksonville. You know, they signed Clyde Campbell, who's been a monster. You know, and Bortles, believe it or not, Blake Bortles is actually getting better. So things are starting to really take off down there in Jacksonville, Florida. I think it's their first winning season in a while. So they're right now they're going to the playoffs, and you know nobody really wants to play Jacksonville because they're a team that could surprise you because they're so youthful and knock you off. Not even the Patriots want to play the Jaguars because they have so much of that young talent that can just overwhelm you if you're not careful. And they're a surprise team. They're like a dark horse team. So keep an eye on the Jaguars in the playoffs. They could, you know, shake up the status quo a little bit. The next topic, I should say, Philly bounces back after the loss to the Seattle Seahawks a week ago. The Eagles beat the Rams 43-35. If you watch this game, this is one of the best games of the year. High octane offense. Back-to-back, you know, back-and-forth scoring, I should say. Just nonstop excitement between two great NFC teams. But all of it, I guess, came crashing down when Carson Wentz might have torn his ACL and could have been lost for the year. Wentz left the game with injury. Everybody, like, around Wentz from Philly's team was saying it doesn't look good. I think he eventually got carted out of the stadium. It's not looking good at all. I mean, he walked off the field on his own, but behind, you know, the scenes, he got carted out, and it's just not looking good at all. You know, Philly was looking like a team that could really come through and maybe win this whole thing, win the Super Bowl, take the Vince Lombardi back to, you know, Pennsylvania. But unfortunately, that can't happen without Carson Wentz. You know, Nick Foles did look good when he came in relief for Wentz, but there's no way that Nick Foles is going to be able to take this team all the way to the top like Wentz could. You know, Wentz was definitely the front run, one of the front runners at least for the MVP trophy, and it's just it's not going to be the same without him on the field anymore. So something's got to change. You know, like moving forward, they got to develop a better game plan, you know, letting Ajayi, Blunt, and Clement work the running game, and then just let Nick Foles make the throws when he has to. But if you come out and, you know, make Nick Foles throw every time, not saying he can't do it, he might be able to do it, but it almost seems like it would be smarter to take like a Trent Dilfer approach, let the running game guide the offense, just let Foles be a game manager. Don't ask him to come in and win games. Just ask him to come in and manage the game, hand the ball off, control the clock, and just play fundamental football. And then Philly still might have a chance just because they have so much talent on their roster. You know, Nelson Aguilar looked great. Alshon Jeffrey looks great. All their running backs, like I said, there's just a lot of good things going on in Philly. As far as Dallas goes, let's talk about the Cowboys. Cowboys beat the Giants pretty good. I don't know if you guys seen Rod Smith, Jalen Smith's brother, who's at the running back spot. He was just racking up yardage for the Cowboys. I think he finished with like 160 combined yards. I don't know if that's the official stat, but he was playing really, really good. And Alfred Morris better watch out, because if Smith just keeps playing like that, Morris's touches are going to go down. Now, obviously, when Ezekiel Elliott comes back, that's his job, and it's not even close. But last week, Alfred Morris really ripped it up. This week, Rod Smith really ripped it up. And those two running backs, given huge performances on the ground, really helped the Dallas stay alive during Elliott's suspension. Dak Prescott was incredible again. You know, he's been doing everything he can to keep this ship afloat, too. So, Cowboys are keeping their season alive. Their playoff hopes are still alive. I think they're 7-6 on the year. So, they would have to win out and get a little bit lucky. But, you know, anything's possible. And as long as you keep winning, at least that keeps the dream alive a little bit. Other news in the league. Detroit Lions get a big win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That keeps their NFC playoff hopes alive. You know, with Seattle and Atlanta, Seattle's currently the 7th seed. Atlanta's the 6th seed. So Atlanta has the last playoff spot in the NFC right now. Seattle's the first team looking in. Detroit's the second team looking in. So Detroit gets a win, which is big because Seattle took it out this week to the Jaguars. So Detroit's looking for Seattle and Atlanta to unravel down the stretch, and then they're trying to win. The Lions are trying to win the next three games, and Caldwell's trying to sneak in the playoffs again. And is, you know, sometimes it seems like Jim Caldwell doesn't really have a lot of passion, or not passion, because he definitely has passion. He doesn't have a lot of fire, but his even keel approach has to some degree worked with Detroit, because he's been to the playoffs a few times with this team. And you got to remember, the Lions are one of the worst teams in the league historically. So to take Detroit to the playoffs as many times as Caldwell has, it's definitely a testament to his ability to lead and coach at the NFL level. So other things that I want to walk away from this past weekend of action. You know, obviously, back to the Steelers, I was really impressed by how they were just able to hold off the Ravens. Baltimore came in and they came ready to play, a lot of back and forth action. But the Steelers, they always find a way to win. You know, the last three games or so that they've won, it's been contested all the way down to the wire, and they always seem to come up big. Now, can the Steelers beat the Patriots in the playoffs? I don't know. I don't know if they have that much ground, just because Bill Belichick runs such a tight ship that, you know, it's hard to get the Patriots off. But thing is for sure, like I said with the stats earlier, the Steelers have definitely closed that gap as far as on the defensive side of the ball, really improving with Sean Davis, with getting Cameron Hayward back, and with getting Artie Burns. So that defense is significantly better. The offense is better. Can the Patriots deal with all those athletes? I mean, the Steelers are loaded with athletes. That's going to be a lot for the Patriots to handle, especially with the Patriots defense really regressing this year like we all know they have. So I think that's going to be, once again, the matchup in the AFC Championship. Maybe the Steelers get it done this time around. Who knows, though? You know, anything can happen. Like I said, you got to really watch out for the Jags, too. The Jags are the surprise team and all this. They could come through and just shake something up, maybe knock off the pass or maybe knock off the Steelers early on or, you know, the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are more susceptible to getting knocked off by the Jags. But really, if the Jacksonville can beat New England or Pittsburgh, that would be just something I could see happen just because it just is out of nowhere and they're the up-and-coming team and they just surprise somebody. On the NFC side of the playoffs, it's really tough because it's so scattered over so many teams. Like, the good teams are – there's a lot of them in the NFC. Now, Philly, like I said, Philly's in trouble without Carson Wentz. I don't think they won the Super Bowl. I really – halfway through the day today, I thought the Vikings were definitely going to win the Super Bowl, and then they collapsed to Carolina. And it looks like, you know, maybe the Vikings are beatable now. You know, Carolina, they're a team in the NFC that, you know, they're suddenly back on track and they're playing football like they did the year they went to the Super Bowl against the Broncos. Now, Cam just keeps lighting it up. If Devin Funchess just keeps eating against these secondaries, you know, they're kind of like how Jacksonville is on the AFC side. The Panthers are that surprise team that could come in. And, well, now without Wentz, they could definitely beat Philly, but they could obviously beat the Vikings. They just did it yesterday. So that could happen again in the playoffs. And they could just have their number. Because, you know, once you knock a team off, you build up a little confidence. Like, we got their number. So, you know, Carolina's walking away from this game thinking, hey, we can beat the Vikings. We proved it, and we can beat them again when it counts. So, the Rams are actually looking like a team that could win it all now because they just took Philly down to the wire with Wentz for half the game. And now with Wentz out, that could put the Rams over Philadelphia. So they're another team in this thing that might surprise somebody with, you know, Sean McVay's offense play calling. Then you got Wade Phillips calling the defense and just – they're just bringing pressure and wreaking havoc on the defensive side of the ball. So definitely you got to like the Rams. Falcons, I really don't think the Falcons have it like they did last year. You know, they just had it last year with Shanahan and everything was clicking. They're not the same team, you know. I don't know if it's Sarkisian calling the plays. I don't know if they just weren't as hungry as they were a year ago. Maybe they expected just to roll out this season and just beat everybody because they went to the Super Bowl last year. They got a little complacent. I don't know what it is, but Atlanta isn't the same team as last year. They're not going back to the Super Bowl. Out of those NFC teams, if I had to guess, I'm really liking Carolina right now with everything that they're doing. I think, you know, if Cam's healthy, Wentz isn't healthy, and the Vikings are kind of due a little bit to unravel because they've just been so hot for so long. It's like, when are they going to come back down to earth a little bit? You know, this would be the bad time at the end of the year to go through that, but it seems like it's just their time to come down a little bit. Every team, you know, that gets really, really high comes down and has to face a little bit of adversity every now and then. And you don't know how the Vikings are going to respond to having to actually face that adversity. Now, I do think that defense with Zimmer calling the plays can just lock teams down and they can ride that thing all the way to the Super Bowl if that defense stays hot. You don't know if that's just going to be sustainable, because once you get into the postseason, it's a whole different ball game. You know, by the end of the year, your team's banged up. A lot of key players are not 100%. And it's just, it's tough to maintain that high level of play late in the year. You're playing the best teams. So naturally, some teams that haven't been there, teams that are inexperienced, and teams that just for whatever reason are going to collapse. It just happens. If I had to guess what teams collapse, I could see the Chiefs collapsing on the AFC side. On the NFC side, I can see the Eagles are the team that's going to unravel. You know, they already pretty much have. There's early reports that Wentz has the ACL injury, and really that's going to doom everything they have going on. Let's talk about what else happened. I mean, the Broncos finally won a game. We get to finally talk about the Broncos. Man, it's been a while since, I think, 8 games straight since Denver's won a game. Can you imagine how toxic that locker room had to be getting after losing 8 straight games? You know, everybody's pointing fingers at each other. Everybody's wondering what's going wrong and blaming each other, maybe for things that aren't really even the reason why the team's losing. But that's the unfortunate reality of losing. And when things start to get bad, it divides teams. It just ends up being a bad environment for everybody involved. So it was nice to see Denver beat the Jets. And now Vance Joseph is starting to get, has finally started to get past that rough patch that was really almost had me wondering if Joseph was going to get fired over it. You know, at the beginning of the year, I know the owners of the Broncos were really happy with everything. Denver started off hot. They're talking about renewing everybody's contracts. I think Joseph was going to get extended, or Elway was going to get extended. But after slumping for as long as they did, it seemed like, you know, maybe the Broncos were going to change things up a little bit. I don't know if this one win is going to be enough to completely change the outcome for everybody. But I do know one thing. The Denver Broncos are a pretty prestigious organization, and they're not going to settle for losing very long. They've had success there, you know, the Super Bowl era with Elway and Terrell Davis. And then when they beat the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. So there's no way. I don't know if it still is, but I'm pretty sure it's the Boland family who owns Denver. There's no way the Bolands are going to just sit back and be cool with losing football games. It's just not their style. They've been around the good times. They know how much it means to the organization, to the employees, to the fans, and they're going to hold that team to a higher standard, which they should. So if Vance Joseph doesn't watch himself, he's definitely going to find himself on the hot seat, if he's not already, and potentially fired and getting kicked out of that door. Let's talk about Antonio Brown one more time, just because of how prolific he's been. You know, Antonio Brown is starting to get recognized as maybe a receiver who could win the Most Valuable Player Award. No receiver has ever won MVP. So AB's been doing, I think he's had 1,000 yard seasons. And it would be great for the league to maybe get him in the conversation to MVP. Usually quarterbacks win it. The quarterback on the best team usually wins that award. But it would be such a great accomplishment for AB, because that MVP award would give him recognition for all those years of just outstanding production. AB is, you know, arguably the best player in the league. He, outside of Brady, he is the best player in the league, consistently dominates. I mean, he had 216 yards last night against the Ravens. What receiver, I mean, what receiver besides really Calvin Johnson do you see that's been that dominant? I mean, obviously Jerry Rice, the best player maybe ever, but, you know, right now in current era, it's definitely Antonio Brown outside of Tom Brady. So, you know, Brady's in the MVP. He'll probably actually win it because he's just been phenomenal. I think like 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Russell Wilson's right there. Carson Wentz was right there. But even AB getting nominated as an MVP candidate, it's just a huge testament to his playmaking abilities. He's been one of the best in business for such a long time. And the Steelers definitely got a weapon there. You know, I hate to keep talking about Pittsburgh, but, you know, Le'Veon Bell, too, that guy is just flat-out amazing. And there's really nothing those two guys can't do on the field. I did like what D.D. Westbrook did for the Jaguars. Even Bortles has been stepping it up a little bit, too. Other plays around the league that I liked. Todd Gurley. Man, did Todd Gurley go off today. I think he had 2 touchdowns, was right around 100 yards rushing. Might have came up short. I'm not sure off the top of my head. But he had a huge day. Let's talk about –